This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, O God. We thank you because, Lord, indeed you are the God that hears and answers prayers. Unto you shall all flesh come. Unto you we have come this morning. Daddy, please remember us today. Remember our petitions and our cry unto you this morning in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Lord, as we look into your word of life, Master, Savior, Teacher, Redeemer, speak to us today. Open our eyes of understanding. Lord, we may see Jesus today, but at your word, let your person be revealed to us in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for myself, anoint my lips, anoint my tongue, that Lord, it will come, your word will come through it, and your spirit will be the filter in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Amen. Why don't you welcome the person to your right and to your left? Say, you're welcome to church. You are not convinced. Are you not happy with the person sitting next to you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, I see some big smiles. That's very good. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may please be seated. Thank you very much, choir. Let's put our hands together for the choir. Awesome, 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 awesome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when the Bible talks about suffering long, I think Joshua has suffered long. Amen. You know, because they keep yabbing him every time he's helping them. But he continues to suffer long. He just stands there and receives the God of all grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I welcome everyone to church this morning. And as we go into the word this morning, I just feel led to say this. As we were worshiping, the Lord laid on my heart to share this with us. And I know the clock is ticking already. You know, if you ask me which part of the service is the most important, I know you're probably thinking the word, the sermon. But can I tell you today that the sermon is not the most important part of the service? The Sunday school is not the most important part. The announcement, welcome, and prayers and all of that is not the most important part of the service. The most important part of the service is the worship time. The time of praise and the time of worship. You say, Pastor, how come? Think about it. Everything we do in a service is for us. Everything. When you are praying, we are not praying for God to be a better God. So let us now pray for God so that God can be better. No, we are not praying for God. The sermon that will be preached today is not to tell God about us. It's to tell us about God. The only thing we do in the service that is directly Godward is our worship and our praise. Amen? That's the only thing. You say, but the offering, when we give unto the Lord. Well, really? Yeah, you give unto the Lord, but you give to the church. And the church dispenses it as we deem fit by the grace of God. But the one thing that you give that goes to God directly, without any filter, is your praise and your worship. I want you to, when it's time for praise and worship, I want you to be very attentive to God and very focused and deliberate. Somebody say it is intentional. You have to be intentional when it comes to praise and when it comes to worship. You know, sometimes after we're done praising and worshiping, I'm thinking to myself that some people will say, wow, I wonder what God has done for Pastor that is rolling on the floor. I'm just grateful that I'm alive. And I'm grateful that he has saved me. Because I understand that when I gave my life to Christ, there were some that gave their life to Christ as well. And some are falling by the wayside. You know, I'm just grateful that I'm in Christ Jesus. I've told stories of myself time and time again. I don't have time for stories today. But it suffice to say that some of my friends till today, when they see me, they still wonder that Koye is a pastor. You know, when I think about myself sometimes too, I just say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. We want to thank God for what he has done. But you know, you can thank him for what he has not allowed to happen. Amen. Many of us, we want to thank God. God gave me money. Oh, God gave me house. God gave me wife. Okay? That car, the accident that the devil planned for you on the road, he averted that danger, but you didn't know about it. Amen? Just thank him anyhow. Why don't you just bow your hearts for a minute and just praise the Lord. Just worship him. Magnify his name. Magnify his name. That's one thing that the church finds very, very difficult to do. We know how to ask him for stuff, but we don't know how to thank him. We don't know how to appreciate him. Say, Lord, I just appreciate you. I appreciate the gift of life. I appreciate the gift of life. I'm alive and I'm well. I thank you. I thank you. Our scripture of the month says, the God of all grace, he restores us. It means something you had was lost and is bringing it back to you. He's a restorer of peace. He's a restorer of joy. Just thank him. Just appreciate him. We thank you, blessed Redeemer. We give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. We started our radio broadcast last weekend. Hallelujah. So we are on KSLR AM 630. This is the time to pull up the slide. KSLR AM 630. And our program airs Saturdays and Sunday, 5:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. Amen. And we have been nominated the Church of the Week. Hallelujah. For July 4th week, the week of July 4th. So July 4th through the 9th, we are the Church of the Week. And during that time, I went to the studio on Friday, I believe it was. I went to the studio on Friday to record a daily devotional. So there's a daily devotional that will be aired three times a day during that week, Monday through Friday. They'll be airing the daily devotional. These are my best guesses. Please pardon me, I forgot the exact times. But I think I'm close. I think I'm close. I'm right. Put your hands together for me. You know, so 7:59 a.m., 11:59 a.m., and 5:29 p.m. daily during that week, the devotional that was recorded will be played back. And on Saturday, July the 9th, there was an interview that was done in the studio as well. That will air between 9 a.m. and 9:30. 9 a.m. and 9:30. And then there'll be a playback Sunday 1 p.m. Sunday 1 p.m. there'll be a playback. So to God be the glory. Listen to us on radio. Encourage your friends to listen to us on radio. Praise the Lord. So every summer we try to do something different. We try to challenge ourselves in our walk, our journey with Christ. For this summer, what we want to do is we want to read the Gospels. Somebody say the Gospels. The Gospels, the four Gospels, the first three Gospels and then the fourth one, the Gospel according to John is, you know, usually separated from the other three, and it's called the Synoptic Gospel. But for all intents and purposes, we are reading the four Gospels. We're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And here's what I did. I said, Lord, am I not putting a burden on the people? The Lord said, no. Because, listen to me, if we're going to become anything appreciable for God, it is only going to happen through the Word of God. And one of the things the devil has succeeded in doing today is the devil has succeeded in making us lethargic, laid back. We really don't read the word of God. I don't want to embarrass anybody this morning. If I ask the last time anybody read a whole chapter of the Bible, you'll be surprised how many few hands will go up. Amen. So here's what I did. So I looked at it. I said, okay, if we say for the summer has started already. We're officially in summer. But for us, summer is going to begin the summer reading. The summer reading plan is going to start July 1st. So July and August, we're going to read the four Gospels. So I did the math. You know, I looked at it, you know, Matthew 28 chapters, Mark 16, you know, Luke 24, and John 21. Added it up, it was all 89 chapters altogether. And July and August is 62 days. So I divided 89 by 62, and I got 1.4 something something, you know. So if you read 1.4 chapters a day, you will finish the four Gospels. Well, why do 1.4? Let's just do two chapters a day. Amen. You can read one in the morning and read one in the evening. Amen. Let's do that over the summer. Let's study the word of God. The Gospels tell us about the life and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many of us have been swayed by psychology because we don't know the word. I pray that as you read, God himself will enlighten you in the name of Jesus. The light of the word of God will come on for you as you begin to read in Jesus' name. You know, so that's the summer challenge. And every Sunday, we're going to challenge ourselves to ask how many chapters you have read and so on and so forth. We'll announce where you are supposed to be. So if you have some catching up to do, you know you have to catch up very quickly. Praise the Lord. And on all the chat groups that we have the Women of Destiny WhatsApp group. We have the Men of Valor WhatsApp group. We have the SWAT WhatsApp group. We have the Imitators of Christ WhatsApp group. We have the Power Team WhatsApp group. Which one am I missing? Davidic Praise WhatsApp group. The beautiful thing is, if you belong to two or three, whatever you post in one, just post in the rest. You just copy and paste. So what we want to do, we want to keep the conversation going. So daily when you read, anything that jumps at you, just post it in the group. You might be blessing somebody for that day. You know, so what I didn't catch, you may catch. And when you post it, I say, oh, wow, really? You know, perhaps I'll even get a sermon topic from there. Amen. Don't worry, I'll give you credit. I'll just say, you know what, this thing is not really original to me. It was Sister TJ that put, no, I won't say her own. It's Women of Destiny. You know, I say, it was Brother AK that posted something and it blessed me so much. And here is the message. Amen. The Lord will help us as we do this. In Jesus' mighty name. So much for announcements. Very quickly, let's get into the word. As it was mentioned earlier, this is the last Sunday in the month of June. Can you believe that? 6 months of the year is gone already. We're already halfway through the year. Whatever it is you have been waiting on the Lord for, in this second half, there will be a manifestation. There will be a performance of those things that have been spoken concerning you. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all through the month of May, we have been talking on the subject of grace. And last time, I said four things that I said are fundamental to the understanding of grace. And number one of that is that grace is a free gift from God. Grace is a free gift from God. Number two, I said we are saved by grace. And I showed us all of this from Scripture. The first one is John 1:17. The second one, we are saved by grace. The first one is Ephesians 2:8. It's a free gift from God. Number two, we are saved by grace. Ephesians 2:8 as well. Number three, grace came through Christ. By Christ, grace came to us. That's John 1:17. And number four, we say grace has been available before the law. It's just that now that Jesus had come, we can fully access grace. But before now, because Jesus had not come, we were not able to fully access grace. And what we did the last time was, I said sometimes it is easier to understand a thing by what it is not. When you know what it is not, then you can begin to look for what it is really. You know, like if we say the pastor of the church is a guy, you know, then when you come in and you see women, you know, this is not the guy. I like to see myself as a guy, you know what I'm saying? Not an old man. You know, he's a man, you know. So when you walk in, you're not looking for a woman, you're looking for a man. You know, so it helps you narrow things down. And the last time we said that grace is not a license for sin. Grace is not a license for sin. And we saw in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And God answered his own question in verse 2. He said, God forbid. God forbid. So today, what I will try to do is to answer a question as we wrap all of this up. And the question I want to answer today is, does grace make us lazy? Does grace make us lazy? It will be a tragedy for a believer to be fired from the job because they are lazy. It will be a tragedy for a believer to be fired from the job because they don't do their job well. It will be a tragedy for a believer to be fired from the job because they are inconsistent. Because all of those things will be inconsistent with Scripture. It will be inconsistent with the nature of Christ in us. Believe me, things happen every now and again. Amen. We are not all perfect 100% of the time. Sometimes we drop the ball, but it cannot be a manner of life and a consistent way of living. And that's what I'm talking about here. So to answer this question, what I want to do, we're going to do a little bit of back and forth, but the Lord will help us navigate through it all and finish in good time. I want to read the scripture of the month, but I want to read it in context. So we're going to start from verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 5 from verse 1, and I'll read to 14. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another. And be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered for a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settle you. Verse 11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, salutes you. And so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. One of the reasons I decided to do what I've just done is to show you how easy it is to read a chapter of the Bible. So if you read along with me, you just read a chapter today. Is that easy? It didn't take 5 minutes, scarcely. You know, it is easy to read when you make up your mind to read. So today, we're asking the question, does grace make us lazy? It is important that we touch on this because of the definitions of grace that we have enumerated over time. We have said that grace is God's free, unmerited, and undeserved favor. And this is true. You don't qualify for it, but God gives you that thing anyway. I don't know, but I have enjoyed the grace of God at many levels. For me to stand before you and be preaching to you today is all by the grace of God. You know, I don't qualify for it. It's not because I'm better than everybody else. It is just the grace of God. Amen. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Verse 9 says, "Not of works, lest that any man should boast about it." So the grace of God that we enjoy and the things that we have received by grace, amen, if anything that grace has given to you, anything that you have received because of grace, it is not because of your qualification, it is because of the free gift of God. Can somebody say amen to that? Our salvation, our justification, our adoption as sons and children of God, our approval, security, our worth and meaning in Christ, all of those are as a result of the finished work of Calvary. It is not our righteousness. We looked at that scripture when we're talking about this in Isaiah, talking about the best of our righteousness is like filthy rags before him. And I told us what filthy rags is. Hallelujah. So when you think of this, it said not by works, it is all by grace. So does that mean we don't have any portion, any work to do? Does that mean I just, you know, float along life and say the grace of God is sufficient, it will provide everything? Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. And we're going to come back to this text. The Bible says, the Apostle Paul, he said, "But by grace," somebody say by grace. "By the grace of God, I am what I am." Friends, if you are what you are by the grace of God, then it becomes almost, in fact, literally impossible for you to boast. Amen. Some people, the way they look at others is like, "You are beneath me. You are beneath. I'm not in your class. I'm not in your category. You are beneath me." But the apostle here, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Amen. The apostle here is saying, he said, "Whatever you think I am, I have become. And I became through the grace of God." So whatever you are, big shot at your job, whoever you are, whatever you are, it is only by the grace of God. When you remove the grace of God from a life, it becomes a life of labor. It becomes a life of struggle. So whatever it is that I am, it is important that I remember. And it is important that you remember that whatever I am, I have become through the grace of God, by the grace of God. So when we talk about this, does that then mean, you know, if you are a doctor, for example, you are an engineer, you are a big professional, an attorney at law, you know, you are an IT engineer, all of those things. Did you work for it or did you not work for it? We will come back and answer that. In talking about I am who I am by the grace of God, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, I'm going to lay a scriptural foundation for us because, you know, again, the church is all about talk today. And we have left off scripture and we just talk to excite ourselves. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11, very popular verse. I'm sure you know it. He said, I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. It means when you were in school training for what you are today, it wasn't everybody that started that finished. I was telling my wife the story of a guy that we went to school together. He's doing well. He's not doing badly. He's doing well. But when we graduated, he made all of us look bad. This boy. We all look bad. I don't think my mom was there that day at my induction ceremony. You know, the day we were inducted into, you know, Veterinary Medicine Association of Nigeria, whatever. You know, this boy made us look bad. You know, so we were all seated in the hall, you know, they are now giving award for best students, this, that, and all of those things. The best student in pathology was this boy. So he picks the gift as he's going back. The best student in biochemistry he goes back. He picks it, he's going. The best student in microbiology he just made everybody look bad. Can we just get over this quickly and get to the next? Let's do the induction and let's go home and celebrate. You know, we were all embarrassed. At least I was. We were all doctors, but you know, it just made us look bad. But do you know that the same guy in my set, I think almost 10 of us went back as lecturers. You know, do you know of all of them that are still there now, because I'm no longer there, of all of them that are still there now, all of them are full professors except that guy. The race is not to the swift. The race is not to the swift. You might seem like you have been left behind, but by the grace of God, God will push you ahead. You must trust in the grace of God. He's a lecturer still. He's a senior lecturer, but all of those guys are professors, and they are over him. In fact, some of those behind, he's my friend. I'm not talking bad. I'm not talking ill about him. But it was just an interesting example for me. Even those that were younger, junior to us, are professors, full professors. And he's a senior lecturer. Why? He refused to do his PhD. Friends, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise. It means the fact that you are educated does not mean you will not go hungry. Oh, I know about that. I was a lecturer at the University of Ibadan, the premier university in Nigeria, and I still knew what hunger was. But that was back then. They pay them well now. Nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to the men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. Your time has come. The grace of God will propel you forward. The grace of God will push you into your place. In the name of Jesus. Romans chapter 9 and verse 16. Romans 9 and verse 16. It says, so then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. You know, the fact that you have determined to do anything does not mean you will accomplish it. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Except you are lying. You know about what I'm talking about. You had planned. You have everything was like it was going to happen. But it didn't happen. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it is of the Lord that showeth mercy. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and it addeth no sorrow unto it. If you, the life of some rich people are miserable. If you know their story, you don't want to be like them. Thank you, ma. Somebody knows. I'm telling you the honest truth. The Bible says the rich man, because of his riches, he cannot sleep. But the working man,
The Bible said the sleep of the man that labors is sweet at night. But the rich man is thinking of this investment, he's thinking of that, hey, what's happening in China? What's happening in Japan? He can't sleep. He can't sleep. In fact, when things are not going well, that's when I sleep. Ask my wife. You know, I just sit down and I'm like, oh my God, what is happening? Hey, this is happening. That is, what? Please, me, I'm going to sleep. I'm telling you the honest truth. When I wake up, I will wake up to pray. My worry, what will it change? Think about it. Yeah, pray for the grace to sleep. It's a grace. I'm serious. I'm sorry. When things, I'm just upset, I'm troubled by so many things. When I sit and I think and think and think and I talk back and forth, and I say this thing is not getting anywhere. It happened recently. I just took a deep breath. I told my wife, I said, sweetheart, I'm going to sleep. She said, but we have not. I said, what is there? There's nothing to finish. I don't have any solutions right now. Perhaps in my dream, God will give me an answer. I just go and sleep. Friends, it is only God that can make rich. Except you want to steal and do illegal stuff. Remember this. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18. It said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which is swore unto thy fathers as it is this day. Listen, I love this scripture. I've preached a number of sermons from this scripture, but it was just as I was preparing for this sermon that God showed me this. Let's go back to that text. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18. It said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he, listen now, listen close, watch this, don't miss this. It is he that giveth thee power. Is not giving you the wealth. It's giving you the ability. It's giving you power is ability to do work. He said, it giveth thee power to get wealth. He giveth thee the ability to do work to get wealth. There is work to be done, but you cannot work out your salvation for yourself by yourself. You cannot be saved by your works. But now that you are saved, there is work to be done. Somebody look at your neighbor, say there's work to be done. There is work to be done. Let me see how I can put all of this together very quickly. Because when we look at all the scriptures that I have read, you will see everything put the responsibility in the corner of God, yeah? Except for this one. If you don't look closely, you might miss it. But you see that he said he gives you the power. And power is the ability to do work. He gives you the ability to do work to get wealth. So if he has given you power, the ability to do work, and you refuse to do work, what is going to happen? The opposite of wealth. It's not to you, it's to the person that refused to listen. Because I know you will listen in the name of Jesus. But this is what the scripture has to say about a lazy person. Somebody that will refuse to work. Proverbs 22 and verse 29. Proverbs 22 verse 29. It says, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. He said, Pastor, I don't see lazy here. What's the opposite of diligent? Inconsistent. Lazy. So if the diligent man is standing before kings, where is the lazy man standing? It's not a trick question. It's right there. Before mean men. A lazy man will stand before mean men. There is no joy for the lazy man. Listen to this. Proverbs 23 verse 21. Proverbs 23 verse 21. It says, for the drunkard and the glutton, and we're talking about gluttony in our seven deadly sins, the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Listen to this. What is the one classic thing about a lazy person? When everybody is going to work, what's a lazy man doing? is sleeping. His drowsiness will clothe him with rags. That is what the scripture says. So when we talk about grace, grace can never be a reason for anyone to be lazy. In fact, grace equips you to do work. Grace equips you to do work, to serve God, to serve others. Grace is an equipment by God that he has freely given to you to enable you to do work. Certain things that people do, when you look and say, she was very graceful. I like the way she was just dancing. She was graceful. You know why? Because God has given them grace to do it. The Bible says for every gift God has given, God gave grace for every measure of the gift of Christ. Ephesians 4:8, I believe. He gave grace. 4:7, Ephesians 4:7, pull it up. Ephesians 4:7. There is grace. He said, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So the gift that God has given us, that gift is to do something. To do something with that gift. When you walk with that grace, the way you are doing it looks easy. It looks easy until somebody else tries to do it. Have you seen somebody doing something before? Say, that's easy, that's easy, that's easy. Go and do it. Go and do it. I had a determination. Believe it or not, you will not believe this. But let me tell you anyhow. You know those bow tie that you twist it yourself? Okay, ladies may not know, but the guys will know. There are some bow ties, they don't come ready bowed. Yeah, it's not clipboard. You have to tie it yourself. When we did the church 5th year anniversary, 8 years ago, I went to San Marcos. We were going to have a dinner. The dinner we had at that Catholic church, I bought my tuxedo, everything. So I went to buy this tie. And the guy showed me how to do it. I said, that's easy. Huh. You have not seen me in that tie ever. I've never worn that tie till I'm speaking now. Until yesterday. Because when they are doing it, they say, that's easy. So I got home. I did it. I said, it didn't work. So yesterday I was determined. I said, today, I will learn this thing. And that I paid big money for. I wanted to, five number of grace. I wanted to really look good, knock out, for anniversary. It didn't happen. But finally, I went on YouTube with my lovely wife. I fired her, but then she came back with vengeance, and she eventually got the video that helped me. So now I can teach you. If you need help, come and meet me. For real, I can teach you now. When you have grace to do something, you do it effortlessly. You do it effortlessly. There are many people that have grace to do things, but they have taken the grace of God in vain. Nobody is benefiting from that thing. Nobody. No, in fact, nobody knows you have the grace to do it. Why? Because you are not using the gift. He said, unto every one of us, your name is there, my name is there. Unto every one of us is given grace. Grace has appeared unto all men. Titus 2:11. He said, the grace of God has appeared unto all men. The grace that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. And here, let's go back to where we were. Ephesians 4:7. Ephesians 4:7. He said, this grace has been given unto every one of us. Every one of us. So if you are looking at people, say you are looking at the choir sometimes, you say they don't know what they are doing because you have grace for it. And you are not with them. You have taken the grace of God in vain. And you are frustrating the grace of God upon your life. Because when God has graced you to be able to do something with the measure of the gift of Christ that has been given unto you, but you are sitting on it, and God keeps pushing you. He keeps pushing you. He keeps nudging you. And you keep sitting on it. You are frustrating the grace because nobody can benefit from it. Nobody is being blessed by it. Only you know that you know how to do it. No, Chinese has come out. Let's put our hands together for Chinese. Her video online on Facebook, the clip that she did last Sunday is almost 1,000 views. Almost 1,000 views already. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Poor pastor just shouted you out there. Hallelujah. Proverbs 23:21, he said, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. Drowsiness or the lazy man shall be clothed with rags. Proverbs 13:4. Wow, my time is up. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. The lazy will come to nothingness. The lazy will come to emptiness. Hallelujah. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The scripture totally and completely abhors laziness. So the grace of God does not make us lazy. The grace of God rather strengthens us. Our scripture of the month says, the God of all grace, which has called you unto the eternal glory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, after you have suffered for a while, he will make you perfect. He will establish you and strengthen you. The grace of God strengthens us to do work. The grace of God strengthens us to do work. Let's go back. I told you we will come back to 1 Corinthians 15:10. Let's go back to the 1 Corinthians 15:10. Because the apostle makes it very clear, abundantly clear to us there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, listen to this. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, listen, which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Listen, what he's saying is this. He's saying that the grace of God was bestowed upon me, and the gift of Christ that was within me was activated by that grace, and I have put action, I have put leg to that grace upon my life to bring the gift to work in my life, and that gift has blessed many. We are still reading the scripture that he received by revelation from the Holy Spirit. Till today, we are quoting him right now. How will you be remembered? Suppose God decides to promote you, lift you up, and take you out of Salvation Center, San Antonio, and you are now, you know, Secretary of State or something. When they say, that person used to be in church, how would you be remembered? Oh, they came. Yes. What impact are you making? What impact am I making? What difference am I making in any life, if any? He said, but the grace of God that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Listen, the grace was upon him. It's in the same sentence. You see, it's a semicolon. English is not my first language, but I know a few things about grammar. It's a semicolon. It means it's continuing. It's the same statement. He's talking about the grace. He said, by grace, I am what I am. And then he says, but I labored more abundantly than them all. In the same breath, he's saying it. He's saying, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and the grace is not in vain. And then, I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet, not I. Listen now. Listen now. He said, but by the grace of God, which was with me. So the reason I'm able to walk is because the grace makes the walk easy for me. Hallelujah. Friends, if God be true, let him be true. Too many of us, we mouth scripture, but we don't live scripture. It doesn't matter what you are up against. The grace of God is sufficient. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The apostle Paul said, he said, there was an affliction from Satan in my body. And three times I prayed to God and God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Deal with it. Some people are saying, the reason I can't serve, the reason I can't do this, the reason I can't do that is because of this and this and that and that. God says, I know. go work. I know. Go do it. I know. Just go ahead and do what you got to do. Irrespective of what is happening. He said, but this grace of God, which was with me, it enabled me to labor more abundantly. Look, when you read the scripture, Jesus, the Bible tells us about Jesus, that he will walk all day and pray all night. Whose son are you? Whose daughter are you? He walked all night. Walked all day and prayed all night. That is who we say we are like. I know who I am. I know who I am. You are my Jesus. You are my. I am yours. Thank God for this song. Beautiful song. But the reality of it is that who we are? Is that who we are? Friends, the grace of God does not permit laziness at all. There's no room for laziness. I tell the ministers, I said, if you can't make it for a program or something, let it not be because I am just tired. No. If you are at work, there's something going on, that's okay. You are at work. But when you are tired, what do? You say, let the weak say. If you were tired and they say, you just won the lottery, $700 million. If you don't sign up and pick it today, what will happen? When did I tell you I was tired? What do you want? You better get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. When did I tell you I was tired? Which tired? Please come on, let's go now. Easy. Somebody said, even if it's 100,000, let me just go get this check before they change their mind. I said, let me just go get it. There's a story from, I think it was Switzerland or Sweden. This girl, there was a glitch in the computer system in the bank. So they transferred like $5 million or something into her account. You know the story. In 1 week, the sweet girl, she spent like $1 million. Oh, yes. Quickly before they changed her, she started spending money. She was just spending money. She was traveling the world already. Wow. She was coming back, unperturbed. They arrested her. I said, for what? When they went before the judge, the judge said she has not committed any crime. Money was in her account. She spent the money in her own account. What has she done wrong? But I can tell you, I'm almost certain she's not born again. Because if she was born again, she will return the money. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Maybe I don't have born again people in the house this morning. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's come back now. Forget the $4 million. At least it didn't happen to you. Let's just leave it at when it happens, we will see what you will do. And I know somebody is saying in their heart right now, somebody is saying, Pastor, once I get it, I will pay my tithe. Once I pay my tithe, that will legitimize it. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But let's come back. The apostle here, see how money got your attention. Oh, God help us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, this grace enabled me to labor. Let me give you a final example and I close on this. My time is I'm gone way past time. But listen to this. In Luke chapter 5, when you read from the verse 1 to about the 4th, 5th verse, That's a miracle, the miracle of, you know, big catch of fish. The Bible says that Peter had toiled all night and he caught nothing. And the Bible says there were two boats by the seashore when Jesus showed up. And what Peter was doing is very instructive. You may not have had this before, or maybe you have not thought about it. The Bible says Peter was washing his net. I preached on this before, and what I said was he had given up because he's washing his net. He's packing it up for the day. But do you know the very act of him washing his net, he said, I may have failed today, but I'm going to try again tomorrow. He didn't give up. Peter was a hardworking man. When Jesus came, or you can say when grace came, grace found him. Grace did not go look for a man that was sleeping at home and wondering why is my life like this? What is it, what my life has become? No. Grace went to the man that had labored. The man that was laboring was the one grace went to. Please rise to your feet this morning. Rise to your feet. And I want you to lift up both hands to heaven and pray to God. And say, Lord, remember my labor. Especially if you have been laboring in his house. Say, Lord, remember my labor in your house. Remember my labor in your house. Remember my labor in your house and let grace approach me today. Let grace meet with me today. When grace met with Peter, he had so much to catch that he had enough to give out. He had enough to share. He had so much his boat was capsizing. He had to beg others to come join him. He had to beg others to come join him. I have so much. I have so more than enough. Please come have some. Please come have some. Not only was he blessed, he became a blessing. Say, Father, remember. Remember my labor of love. Remember my labor of love. In the name of Jesus. Remember my labor of love, O Lord. Remember my labor of love, O God. In the name of Jesus. Remember my labor and let grace come to me today. Let grace come to me today. Jesus, let there be a visitation. A visitation. Grace for abundance. Grace to be blessed. Grace to be a blessing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. There's one or two people here today. I know this in my spirit that you really need to repent. You have taken the grace of God in vain. There is a grace that God has put upon your life that is just dormant. The body of Christ is not benefiting from it. You're just sitting on it. Say, Lord, have mercy. Say, Lord, I repent. I repent. It's between you and him. Just talk to him in a minute. Talk to him. Say, Lord, I will put that grace to work. I will put it to work. I repent. I confess. I repent. And I ask for forgiveness. Repentance means to make a 180-degree turn. A 180-degree turn. So I've been sitting on it. I've not done anything with that grace, but now I'm turning around. I'm turning around. Perhaps you're an engineer. You're good with the technical. Perhaps you're a chorister. You can sing. Perhaps you're good with the equipment, instruments. Perhaps you have a friendly nature about you. You can be an usher. Whatever it is that you have been sitting on and others have not been able to benefit from, say, Lord, from today I change my mind. I'm going to be obedient. That grace may work fully in my life. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Jehovah, we give you praise. We worship you. We adore you. Lord, your word says, by Christ, grace has come to us. Lord, we receive grace this morning. We receive your grace this morning in the name of Jesus. Grace for increase, grace for anointing, grace for multiplication,
grace to place you, grace to walk before you circumspectly in the name of Jesus, grace to do your will, grace to serve, grace to walk with you in the mighty name of Jesus, grace to stand till the very end in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, for in Jesus' mighty name I have prayed. Amen and amen. Let somebody shout hallelujah.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.